رسوله النبي الكريم نحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected Hufaz Ikram, elders and brothers in Islam and youngsters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let us send Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. All praise belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite grace and mercy, has bestowed us with the wealth of iman, made us the reciters of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allahumma thabbitna ala al-iman wa amitna ala al-iman wa ahshurna yawm al-qiyamati ma'al muttaqina ma'al iman. O Allah, keep us steadfast on iman. O Allah, let us face malak al-maut with iman. And O Allah, raise us up on the day of Qiyamah with Iman. Ameen. My dear respected elders and friends, Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he comes to the majlis of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asks Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man Najat? That, O Prophet of Allah, what is a means of my eternal salvation in the Akhirat? Man Najat, that, O Prophet of Allah, what is a means of my eternal salvation in the Akhirat? It means ultimate success. This was the mindset of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. The mindset of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu is such that they did not worry about the worldly life. Their fikr and their concern was to please Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And their ultimate goal was to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once you attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will be saved from the pits of hell and be admitted into paradise. So that was their objective, that was their goal, that was their target, that was their mindset. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, did work on them. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the wahi, through the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guided the people of Makkah, and those accepted the message of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And those people who witnessed and who saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a naked eye during his time are known as the Sahaba. My dear respected elders and friends, just this thought comes to mind. That can you imagine how difficult it was for the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, for the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah, that to leave out their bad habits completely and to turn their focus and attention to totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we all know what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were. That what habits they had. Bearing young girls alive. It was part of the habit. Drinking alcohol was part of their livelihood, was part of their lives. So to leave that completely and to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have such minor, how can I say, bad habits, that we find it so hard to give up. For example, smoking cigarettes. If you ask a smoker, yes, there are people that gave it up. Alhamdulillah. But those that are still smoking, you ask them, when are you going to give it up? They say, you know what, I gave up, trying to give up also. So that's such a minor habit that we have, but we find it so difficult to leave out. Those youngsters, those of us who are so inclined and so hooked into music that we have the earphones 24/7 in our ears listening to this music, and we cannot sleep without this music playing in our ears. We find that so hard to give up as well. And music was also common at the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, but they gave up all of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew the sacrifices they made. knew the mujahada they made. Not fighting in battles, not fighting in wars, but fighting with their nafs and their desires. Suppressing their nafs and their desires for the pleasure of Allah. And we all know the title that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, that they were promised Jannah before they even left this world. That radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Wa kulla wa'adallahu al-husna. So this was the mindset of the Sahaba. So Uqba ibn Amir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man najat? What is the means of my eternal salvation in the akhirat? So the focus was on the akhirat. فَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws a comparison between this world and the akhirat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. With regards to this worldly life and the pleasures and the enjoyments and the luxuries of this worldly life, compared to the akhirat, is minute. Is an atom that you can't even see it. You need a microscope to see it. That's the difference between this world and the akhirat. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala three advices, which I would like to share with every single one of us inshallah. Simple advices given to Uqba ibn Amir for his eternal salvation in the akhirat. And we should try, inshaAllah, our very best to bring these three advices into our lives. And then, inshaAllah, al-Aziz. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I got three advices for you. The first advice, أملك عليك لسانك. The first advice is, that guard your tongue. Be a master of your tongue. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, in his kitab, Ihya al-Ulum, he speaks about the different body parts and the effects and the harms of different parts of your body. And one part in particular he speaks about in this Ihya al-Ulum is the tongue. And he mentions a very profound statement regarding the tongue. A lesson for every single one of us. Jirmuhu saghir wa jurmuhu kabir. Jirmuhu saghir, that this flesh is small. وَجُرْمُهُ كَبِيرٌ. But the effect of that small piece of flesh can be very great. This tongue that we have can either lead us closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or this piece of flesh, that this tongue can lead us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This small piece of flesh, this tongue, gives us the ability of reciting La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And this very same piece of flesh can make us into kufr, make us murtad and leave the fold of Islam. So this tongue can make us believe in Allah and also make us turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Imam Ghazali says, Jirmuhu saghir. It may be small, insignificant, but the effect of it is very great. Wajirmuhu kabir. It is very great. A person may live his entire life in kufr and disbelief. 70 years, 80 years of his life. He may live in disbelief in kufr and shirk. But towards the latter part of his life, that same tongue that disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just before he passes away, with that same very tongue that he displeased Allah with, that he disobeyed Allah with, that he disbelieved in Allah, but he says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Everything that he has done for the 70, 80 years of his life of disbelief is totally forgotten in the sight of Allah. So this tongue can be a means of our salvation and it can be a means of our destruction. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, it was his habit that whenever people used to pose a question to him, he used to keep quiet. He never used to give an answer. So after a very long time, he will give an answer. So one person dropped the courage to go ask Imam Shafi, oh Imam Shafi, why do you take so long to give an answer? Why do you take so long to give the jawab? Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi replies, أملك عليك لسانك. That we have to think first before we speak. Now we may say things, or we may give a masla, that is not truly a masla, and that will lead us away from the safe path. And not only me also, even that person who asked that question, that person may go astray and I may go astray. And who's going to be questionable in the court of Allah? It is me, for I was the means of leading that person astray. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, من قال لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو يسكت. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that all those who believe, you believe in Allah, you believe in the last day, you believe on the day of Qiyamah, then say that which is good. Speak that which is khair and beneficial. If you do not have anything good to say, or if you do not have anything beneficial to say, فَيَسْكِتْ, then rather keep quiet. That will save you from a lot of harm in the future, and especially in the akhirat. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the road to the akhirat is a lengthy journey. It's full of trial and tribulations and tests. This life in this world is so short that at any given moment our life can change. And I have witnessed it myself, and I have seen others close to me also, that within a minute your life can change. Within a minute your health can change. So within that very same minute you can leave this world and pass away. But how are we going to prepare for that year after? And how are we going to prepare for the life of the hereafter? That from the time of the qabr till the day of qiyamah, standing on the plains of hashr, being questioned for all our deeds in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that journey, once we leave this world, is only the beginning. Now we in this world is a preparation for that journey. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith that every single morning, every limb in our bodies seek refuge in the tongue. And they all address the tongue and they say that, oh tongue, please watch yourself today. Don't say anything that will be hurtful because we all will be affected. So every single limb in the body seek refuge from the tongue every single morning. Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he also says very beautifully, Pehle tolo, fir bolo. That first weigh, then speak. Pehle tolo, tolo means to weigh. So in other words, Imam Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah is telling us that first think before we speak. We do not want to hurt another person's feelings. You don't want to hurt another person's feelings by us hurting another person's feelings for something that we may have said without even thinking about the consequences about it, then we all know the end result of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to bring this one advice in our lives, that to guard our tongues, amlik alayka lisanak, and use our tongue for the remembrance of Allah, and use our tongue to gain closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and use our tongue to build a healthy relationship with our family members, with our co-workers, with our loved ones, with our friends, with every single mu'min, every single recite of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala use it as a means of our salvation in the akhirah, inshallah al-aziz. The next advice that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives to Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, وَلْيَسَعَكَ بَيْتُكَ, that may your house encompass you. That's the literal meaning of this. Then what does it mean? It is easy to build a house, but not so easy to build a home. It is easy to build a house, but a home is very difficult. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us numerous prescriptions to how to build a healthy home. That how do we build a healthy home? That whenever we enter the home, teach our children as well, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Let the child make that salam loudly when entering the home. Let us also, when we enter the home, make that salam loudly, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It will build a healthy environment at home. And create good akhlaq at home as well within every members of the household. You know, often we hear, hey, my house is like hell, man. I can't wait to get away. I can't wait to get away from the house. Go in the morning, you're happy, and you're coming home in the evening after work, pace is pulled up. And outside the house, we smile and joke with every single person that we meet, but come inside the home, our faces are pulled up, we're upset, we're angry. It's not a good environment. Not a good environment for our wives, not a good environment for our children, and not a good environment for ourselves as well. وَلْيَسَعَكَ بَيْتُكَ Let your house encompass you. Another meaning of this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلْيَسَعَ بَيْتُكَ Mufassirin explained, that try your best to stay more in your home than outside your home. Try and stay more at home than outside your home. By you staying more at home, it'll protect you from fasad, it'll protect you from a whole lot of guna, a whole lot of sin. By you staying at home in the confines of your home, then you will see the difference in your home. You will see that more nuraniyat will enter your home. There'll be more barakat in your home. And you correct your akhlaq at home. And you be better at home. You're always smiling at home. And this will help to bring the rahmat and the mercy and the barakat into our homes. The third advice Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives to Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Wabki ala khati'atik. That cry over your sins. That cry over the gunas that you have done. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, when a person cries over his sins, it is as though he has never even committed that sin. That's how free he is from that sin. But we have to make that tawbah. كل بني آدم خطاؤون وخير الخطائين التوابون. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that every single human being makes mistakes. Every single human being does guna. Every single human being goes against the commands of Allah, goes against the teachings of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what makes us Muslims better than others is that we seek repentance. The best sinner in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at-tawwabun, is that person who makes tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That cries before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regrets the guna that he has done before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned, that every single day we are drawing closer to our qabr. Every single day, we are drawing closer to the year after. So every single night before we go to sleep, do some muhasaba. Reflect. That before we fall off to sleep, ask ourselves, what have I done to make this world a better place? Or what have I done to make my iman better, to uplift my iman? And also, ask yourself, who have you hurt today? Who have you wronged today? Who have you erred with today? Who have you spoken ill of today? So you make muhasaba. And I promise you, by you doing this, and you tell yourself, oh, today I wasn't a good person. Or today I missed my salah. Or today I missed my Quran tilawat. Or today I missed my prescribed zikr. Or today I missed my normal zikr. So tomorrow, inshallah, I will better it. Today I read 10 pages of Quran. Tomorrow I will read 12 pages of Quran. Today I swore, inshallah tomorrow I will not swear. Today I thought ill of somebody, inshallah tomorrow I will not think ill of anybody. So by you making that muhasaba, it will help you to become a better believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every morning when we wake up, wa'ada, make a promise. And every morning when you wake up, you make a promise to yourself and you tell yourself, no, today, come what may, I'm going to be a better believer. I'm going to be a better slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to be a better follower of Habib Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today you make a promise, that every morning you make a promise, that today I will make sure, I will do my very best to gain the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today I will make that promise, I will not miss a single salah in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if by chance you did not get a chance to fulfill that promise, or for some reason or the other, you fail to fulfill that promise, just by you making that promise, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for it. Just by you making that ajr, that promise, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me firstly, and every single one of us the tawfiq, that we try our utmost best to bring the three advices of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. And what is that first advice? أَمْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكَ, that guard your tongue, be mindful of your tongue. The second advice given to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلْيَسَعَكَ بَيْتُكَ, that may your house encompass you, that let us build better akhlaq in our homes, let us be in our homes, let us bring that environment, that nuraniyat in our homes, by reading Quran in our homes, by having ta'aleem in our homes. And the third advice given to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَابْكِ عَلَى خَطِيئَتِكَ, let us cry over your sins. This one hadith that comes to mind, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding the tongue. إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ مِّن رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ لَا يُلْقَى بِهَا بَالًا لَا يُلْقَى بِهَا بَالًا فَيَرْفَعُ بِهَا دَرَجَاتٍ. That slave who says something that is good, unintentionally also, he says something good to his fellow brother or his fellow sister, he says something good to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it wasn't even his intention as well, Allah ta'ala, because of him being good and saying those kind words, يَرْفَعُ بِهَا الدَّرَجَاتِ, Allah will raise you up in status. On the other hand, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيْتَكَلَّمُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ مِّن سَخَطِ اللَّهِ لَا يُلْقَى بِهَا بَالًا فَيَسْوِي بِهَا فِي جَهَنَّمِ. That person who says those words that causes harm to another person, that hurts the other person's feelings, whether intentionally or unintentionally, that person who says this, then he is drawing himself closer to the fire of Jahannam. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and protect us all. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.